Sandra Carter here, and with me in the studio is somebody for whom the end of the war that we've been celebrating has very special memories. Helga Gerhardy, good morning.
Good morning.
You've just had published a second of your books describing your experience in the war and its aftermath, and your story is very unusual. I know you were a Swiss girl who happened to end up in Eastern Germany, the wrong place at the wrong time when war began. You were 14 years old, is that right?
Yes.
So what happened to you?
My father didn't have to go into the war because he was Swiss. But he travelled to his business, so it was always my mother who was left alone at home. I think the SS suddenly discovered that we were foreigners, although from a neutral country. And the first thing that happened was that we had searches by the SS. They would just come and knock on the door and say, we want to search the house. And it was my mother who had to cope with the situation. And if I was at home, she tried to hold my hand whilst we were walking through the house. The SS would just sort of pull out all the drawers in my father's desk, turn them upside down and look for papers, read through them. They searched every room, but I think my mother hated it when they went and opened up her linen cupboard. She had beautiful linen, white, and they used to just throw it on the floor and kick it up with their black boots. And if she was holding my hand, I could feel her tremble. But she
there
tried to be brave.
There must have been so much fear in the house. What's it like being a teenager, living those years?
Well, I think I was young, and I used to sort of stare at them, and I used to think, you know, I would like to say something, but I wasn't allowed to. But I felt sorry for my mother, because she was the one who really suffered more.
Towards the end of the war, things began to get much worse when the Russians started advancing on your town in eastern Germany.
Yes, well, that was in 44-45. The big Russian offensive actually started in January 45. But we already had been sort of warned by soldiers who returned that the Russians were coming nearer and nearer to the town of Königsberg, where I lived.
Because you had been a medical student, hadn't you?
Yes, yes. And at our last bomb attack, the university and also the anatomy were destroyed. And while was that, of course, my studies finished. But we had to work in military hospitals to help as much as we could.
And this was treating the German troops that were coming back from the front line?
That's right. And one of my duties was to be on station duty, expect the trains to come in with the wounded, but they were only coming in cattle trucks. We had 10 to 15 degrees below zero, and the cattle trucks only had a little bit of straw at the bottom. I was only 20 years old, but I had to sort the dead from the ones which were still alive and try and help as much as I could. Although we had no bandages, only paper bandages and toilet rolls we used to use. But there were plenty of other young nurses there, and the soldiers warned us. They said, you ought to go, you ought to leave. We weren't allowed to listen to foreign news or the wireless, and of course we never got the truth. We were never told that the Russians were so close.
Right, but they were advancing, so you did decide to flee. You became a refugee.
Yes, I became a refugee.
And what was that like?
That was terrible.
That journey.
It was very cold. Like I said before, 10 to 15 below zero. We had no food. We had no shelter. The Russians were shooting at us. We walked over frozen lands, frozen lakes. And of course, when they shoot, the ice breaks and horses and carts just disappear. You couldn't help anybody because you would only drown yourself. And in any case, it was so cold, people died very quickly. The roads were littered with dead bodies, frozen. But I was young and I didn't want to die. So I just walked. You just walk.
Helga, eventually you got back to Switzerland in safety. And that's the story that you told in your first book, which was published 2 years ago. Now, I gather that you'd never spoken about that before you wrote it down. Is that right?
Yeah, I could never talk about it. I think my husband knew that I was a refugee, and He tried to ask me questions, but I always felt if I talked about it, I would bring it up again, and I didn't want to.
Children didn't know anything about it either, did they?
No, they only knew I was a refugee. And of course, anybody else, realizing I was Swiss, never expected me to be a refugee because Switzerland was neutral during the war. But my two sons wanted to know, and they said, if I don't talk about it, I ought to write. And once I'd written it, they read it.
What was it like actually writing about something you'd not spoken about for 40 years, 50 years?
I did remember everything, particularly the horrible parts. And you go through them again. You feel cold again and feel hungry again. I remember eating the bark of a tree, and I thought, what was that like? I only remember that it hurt my teeth. But you feel it all again. You never forget. But I think it's good to have written it down, because after that I was able to talk. And although there are some details which I will never tell, I think they're so unbelievable what the Russians did to the civilian population, but I can talk about the rest at least. And I hope it is a warning, you know,
yes.
Don't have wars.
So 2 years ago you wrote this book, which was really just to tell your family what had happened, to get it off your chest. And you had an amazing response, didn't you?
Oh yes, once it was published, people started to write to me. I had fan mail, and I filed it all. I just couldn't believe it. Some people wrote and said, what happened next? I think there were more letters like that. Others wrote, I've even had a phone call from an English prisoner of war who was in the East and did the same trip as I did. Yes. And he said he helped the refugees and he knows what the Russians were like. I had a letter from a German woman who married an Englishman, and she said when she came to England she started to tell people about it, but nobody believed her. She said, now I'm telling them, go and buy that book, because it is a true story.
And people started to say, what happened next?
Yes, that's right.
So this month you're publishing your second book, and you've been round and about the area signing copies, I know, this week. Helga, the continuing story. The first book was called Helga, your name. This is the continuing story, and I believe it tells how you came over, or you met your husband, your future husband, in Switzerland.
Yes.
He was a man from Buckinghamshire. You came over and married him. And then that courage and determination were called on again, weren't they? This is the story of the second book.
It was, because my eldest son was born with cerebral palsy. And when he was 18 months old, I was told that he would never walk and never talk. But I could see there was a lot of intelligence in him. And I wasn't going to let people take him away and put him into a home. I was very successful in finding a physiotherapist in Queen Mary's Hospital, Carshorten, who taught me how to teach Victor to move his limbs, his legs. I used to have to do exercise with him every day. And when he was 7 years old, she took him into her unit and eventually got him onto his legs. He doesn't walk.
I know, Helga, that the story is a wonderful tale of your persistence, which actually finally ended up with him now leading a really useful life, with it's always useful, but successful life as a computer expert, is that right?
Yes, yes, that's right.
He must
right.
be really proud.
He's also married, and he's got two children, and they're perfectly all right.
That's brilliant. So these two books, Helga and Helga, the continuing story, have a really inspiring feel to them, I know. Your determination to overcome all the odds. Actually, I know you actually met Hitler yourself, didn't you? What about
yes.
that?
Well, that was an accident. That's a little story in my first book.
And you're not going to tell me that, are you? You're going to make me read the book.
That's right, yes.
One last question, Helga. People sometimes say the war was 50-odd years ago now. We really should let it rest and not keep resurrecting it by writing books and talking about it. Do you think that's true?
I think the stories ought to be told, particularly stories like mine, because it might help to prevent another war. Because it's not only the soldier that fights, the civilian population, they suffer terribly too.
Mm. Well, Helga Gerhardy, thank you very much for telling me all about it.
Thank you.